The ownership of money and property comes as a result of doing things in a certain way. And those who do things in this certain way, whether on purpose or accidental, get rich. While those who do not do things in this certain way, no matter how hard they work or how able they are, remain poor. Wallace D. Waddles, Science of Getting Rich. Yes, yes, yes. Welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I am your host, Gerald Peters. So, one of the more confusing aspects of the book, The Science of Getting Rich. See, this is a great book. If you're trying to build wealth, if you're trying to build a business, if you're trying to anything, man, write a book, you're trying to do something out of the box, right? It's different. It's you're trying to excel at school, whatever it is. This book can help you. It could transform your approach to money and success. It did to mine. I began to implement it into what my goal has been since a very young man, to create a passive income machine. At 16, this journey started really where my mind was turning. You know, at such a young age, you really can't do a lot to accomplish it other than getting ahead of everyone else with education. Because then the reason you want to be educated is the moment you then get some money, you get that first job, that real adult job where you're making some decent money, you know exactly what to do, right? See, you've played it out in your mind. We hear sports people talk about this. How many times did a kid play in the, you know, in the Super Bowl in his mind before he ever made it there as an adult? You know, what's his name? I'm not a big basketball fan, but they say that he's often on the court an hour before everyone else. Scottie Pippen. You see how old I'm getting, man. Anyway, he's practicing. I'm trying to think of his name. My mind's slipping. I don't follow sports. I used to really be into sports, and then I just changed my hobbies, man. I'm not against sports. I've just only got so much room in my mind. I can only do so much in my mind, you know? And so I began to switch sports and stats and who's the quarterback and what division are they in and how's it working for who's the CEO of Pepsi, what's their price-to-earnings ratio, and how much money are they going to pay me. If you have a copy of my book, You Don't Have to Die Broke, I make the statement in there that you should take on hobbies that do three things. The three keys to life: health, wealth, mindfulness or mindset. Three things. If every day you wake up with the goal of health, wealth, and mindset, meaning today I want to eat, live, and act a little bit healthier or just healthy. In other words, I'm not sabotaging myself. Wealth on your mind. I talk about this idea of every dollar. Every dollar I spend, I think in my mind, does this make me richer or does this make me poorer? Now, it's okay to spend the money. I'm not saying don't spend the money. I even talk about in the book, it's okay to buy yourself nice things. You can buy a nice car while pursuing wealth. You don't have to be a fucking monk. I'm not saying that. But you can be wise about it, right? You don't have to take on a car with 23% interest rate. Or some of the horrible things that I've seen. You just become a wise steward of the money you're given. And I've said before, I'm not an overly religious person, but the religious books are old and they're still around for a reason, is that there's some wisdom in these books, right? And a lot of the core principles of a lot of the religions are kind of the same. There's a parable in the Bible where God gives one guy one talent, one guy five talents, and one guy 10 talents. Now, these could be talents, like you're talented at basketball, you're talented at drawing, you're talented at writing. How many people you met that are talented that are broke? And then you meet some other people, you're like, this guy can barely tie his shoes and he has money. Because money's not about intelligence. But if you have the talent of intelligence, if you are intelligent, you actually have a leg up. You can accumulate wealth faster. If you have a degree in mechanical engineering and you're knocking down 150 grand a year, like, you could easily be a millionaire in 7 years. But you can't live the life. You have to choose wealth over lifestyle. This is a choice we're all making. But in that example of a person, I meet them all the time, man. Guys, the highest job I ever had is I made $12.50 as a prison guard. $12.50 was the price that you got paid as a prison guard. I worked part-time. Now, I worked part-time on purpose because full-time at $12.50 sounds like a horrible idea to me. You can't get ahead. But if I could do it part-time, then I knew that amount of money would be a little bit of guaranteed money, and then I could spend the other 100 hours of the week. You can't build wealth on 40 hours a week. Sorry. You can't. It's not possible unless you make a ridiculous amount of money. And those people don't work 40 hours a week. The only people working 40 hours a week or less are poor people. Warren Buffett doesn't work that. Steve Jobs doesn't work that. All of the people that you see who have ever changed this world, who've done any great contribution to planet Earth, did not work 40 hours a week. George Washington, Jesus Christ, Martin Luther King, none of these people worked 40 hours a week. The only people working 40 hours a week are poor people. We just have to come to grips with that. So if we know we're going to have to work more, then we need to do work we love, right? And that's what the science of getting rich is about, finding that. It's 17 chapters. And I began to apply those 17 chapters to my finances and to my life. And when I would read things, because I know it seems like maybe I get off, but I know on my train of thought, but I know where I'm at, this idea of thinking in a certain way. That's the statement throughout the book, thinking in a certain way. What does that mean? What does it mean to think in a certain way? It means that the thoughts that you're holding in formless substance, and some people, well, that's so esoteric, and it's so, you know, I'm not spiritual, I'm not religious. Okay, well then, just replace formless substance within your mind. Because everything starts first as a thought in your mind. I mean, even blueprints start first in the thought of the architect, and then the architect transfers from his thought to his piece of paper, and from the piece of paper he gives it to the builder, and the builders go get the material and build the damn thought, right? And so this is a logical sequence of order. It's the same in building wealth. If you sit around saying, I want to build wealth and I want to get rich, but you're not first thinking, learning, and then at some point writing it down. See, the reason I wrote You Don't Have to Die Broke, I started writing this book 5 years ago. And it's funny, I still have the printouts. At the time I had, I think, 11 houses. I had like 22 stocks, and I would print these off. So I go to my computer once a month. I do this on the first of the month, first or the second. I print off from my website. My website has all my, I print them off. And then I go to my stocks and I pull up the portfolio and I print it off. And I print them all off. And then I go inside E-Trade and there's a tab that says estimated income. And it'll project out the dividends that you're going to receive over the next year. And on the real estate one, I write at the top, what are my gross rents? And then on the other one, I write it out. And I have these. And I do this every month. And so every month I have a new stack. Well, I save the old ones. And it's kind of cool to go back 5 years, pull it out and look. And, you know, it's just a couple pages in. And I look at the top and it says passive income, you know, $7,058. And then a few months later, you pull it out and it says $8,719. Then you go down. And as I go down the years, it goes to 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, just like the compound calculator show. Now, understand that 10%, which is the goal that I teach in the science of getting, or in the Don't Have to Die Broke, my goal is I want my money always making 10%. Now, the reason I say 10% is that means your money's doubling every 7 years. That gives you 10 to 12 doubles in your life. Remember the theory of doubling a penny? Yeah, this is why you want to put a short amount of period of time, that 3 to 5 years, where I often refer to it as a financial jihadist. Like, you literally join a cult. You shave your head. You're freaking weird. People don't even want to be around you, because you're obsessed with laying the foundation for building wealth. Like, because that becomes the architect blueprint. It started in your mind, you educated yourself, and then the 3 to 5 years that you put in the base, this is the blueprint, and then the rest of the time, it begins to grow on its own. It grows on its own. You just start receiving money. You get on the other side of the cash register because you have a philosophy of life that, yeah, you buy things at businesses, but you also own businesses. And you say, well, I'm not an entrepreneur, Gerald. I don't want to. That doesn't preclude you from owning businesses. See, when the revolution happened in like the 14, 1500s, we began to have this industrial revolution, right? People no longer needed to work the field to make their money. And the aristocrats, some of them began to make the switch. They realized, hey, the money's not going to come from the land anymore. We need to begin buying, investing, starting, being a partners with people who are in business. And the families that made the transition survived. Some families made the transition, some families didn't. And the ones that didn't lost their money. Well, you're in that same position right now. You were born at the easiest time in the history of human beings to ever be born. You have water, electric, AC, even the poorest people among us. Recently, I was in a trailer park. It was for sale, so I drove by to look at it. These are poor people. The rents are like $400 a month, $500 a month. It's one of the worst areas in our town. And I counted three Lexuses, two Cadillac Escalades, three or four Ford 150s. So it's not that they can't invest. They can, because they could have bought half the car and invested the difference. They'll never come out of that situation. See, if to a person who's intelligent, to a person who's on purpose, to a person who's thinking in a certain way, when I see you in a car that costs $40,000 and $50,000, and I know you don't make but $60,000, I'm looking at it. It's not impressive. I'm looking at a person. I feel sorry for people when I see that, because they don't have the same financial understanding that I have. They don't understand that the largest asset in their life is going down in value. They're literally financing their own financial destruction, and yet they don't know. Or they do and ignore it. Some of you know and still do it. And that's okay. I'm not mad at anybody. It's just they're choosing lifestyle over wealth. I would just say, match your mouth with your actions. One of the other things the book talks about is taking certain action. Now, taking certain action is talking about taking action on the certain thought. That's where we think, the architect thinks. He puts it onto paper. Paper's your financial plan. He then goes to the builders. The builders are the stocks. The builders are the real estate, right? And they begin to build it. And as they begin to build it, your net worth grows. That's dividends coming at you, interest payments, coupon payments, bond payments, right? And you have all this money coming at you. I have like 40, almost 50 something things that pay me money either every month or every quarter. Some of them are $16, some of them are $300, some of them are $1,100. It's just all these things that I have an invested interest in that are just paying me money. See, I want to keep all of my money. Like all my money's mine, invest it, and then I want to spend the money coming off the money. So I want to get other people's money. See, all of the money that you want is in the pockets, purses, wallets, checkbooks, credit cards of other people. That's it. So if you're a salesman and you sell cars, your money's in other people's pockets. Grant Cardone's famous for, who's got my money? And he does a good job at just breaking this down. And I try to do, this is what I'm trying to do with finance too. I did a video here recently where one of the things that I found along the way is that sometimes the reason people don't invest is they feel like they're losing their money. Well, my wife had a real hard time with this. Like we had $15,000 when we bought our first real estate deal. And I walked out of the meeting with literally like 12 bucks. Like I had 12 bucks. Now I had more money in there because the bank requires you that you're supposed to have, so much money in your account after the deal. Like you can't literally go to 12 bucks. But the money that I had in there was my dad's money. And then once I was walking out of the bank, I was giving it back to my dad. So I walked out. I walked in with basically 15 grand. I walked out with 12 bucks and a house. Now, to my wife, we were broke. And it took me a while to get her to understand, baby, our money went from cash in a bank to equity in a house.
We still have the money. It's safer as equity in that house than it is in the bank. You understand the bank could blow out and you say, well, it's backed by the FDIC. Sure, I get that. But I feel a hell of a lot safer with my money right here. Because now my money's growing. Here's the funny thing. The money in the bank gets virtually nothing. And I've shown videos where I can double your deposit. Meaning the money you put in real estate can double in 3 years if you get a really good deal. In 5 years if you just get an okay deal. In 7 years if you just don't get no deal at all. Like it's just not that great an investment property. It'll still double in 7 years. This is the beauty of real estate, the ability of investing, is this ability to double your money every 7 years. That is only going to happen if you're thinking in a certain way. Chapter 8 is that chapter in The Science of Getting Rich, thinking in a certain way. He says, you must have it. You know how Jesus said it's better to give than to receive? And people who hate capitalism kind of riff on this, that the evil capitalists are hoarding their money, which I kind of am right now, to be honest. I am hoarding. I'm accumulating so that I can then give. You must have it before you can give it. Many people fail to impress thinking substance because they have themselves only a vague and a misty concept of the things they want to do, to have, or to become. It is not enough that you should have a general desire for wealth or, quote, to do good. Everybody has that desire. It is not enough that you should have a wish to travel, see things, and live more, etc. Everybody has those desires. If you were going to send a wire message to a friend, you would not simply take letters from the alphabet in any old order and send it to him and let them try to construct the message himself. Nor would you take words at random from a dictionary. You would send a coherent sentence, one which had meaning and said something. When you try to impress your wants upon substance, remember, formless substance, or in your mind, wherever you want it comfortable with, or to God, if that's your thing, remember that it must be done by a coherent statement. You must know what you want and be definitive. You can never get rich or start a creative power into action by sending out uninformed longings and vague desires. So when a guy says to me, oh, I want to do better, I want to build wealth so I can provide for my family. Okay, so does everyone. We got to go one more step. What does that mean? Like, what does that mean? Sometimes people think that there are some gurus that have some magic thing or words or statement or thing they can give them that'll help them magically make more money. I can't help you make more money. I don't know you. I don't know where you live. I don't know your skill set. I don't know your abilities. What I can do is help you take the money you do make and make yourself wealthy. You have to get that part right. In chapter 1 of You Don't Have to Die Broke, I talk about the three buckets and the well. You've got to get this down. If you don't get down that part, there's no point in investing. There's no point in looking at real estate. There's no point in looking at stocks because you have to have money to do those two. So your first step is always fix your credit. You need a 700 credit score. You need a work history. You need at least 2 years of tax returns. And you need to begin savings. That is everyone's first mission. I'm not so hard that I think people should not invest if they don't have any savings, but listen, the savings protects the investment. So you're saving and investing kind of simultaneously. You cannot put yourself in a situation where if some tragic event in life happens, you have to tap your investing. This is what happened in 2008. An entire country was entirely foolish, and the smartest people in the world basically bankrupt us. When they began creating mortgage-backed securities that were low grade, low level, and they basically bankrupt the economy. You have to be wiser than that. You're not going to be smarter than them. You're not smarter than the day traders on Wall Street. You're not smarter than Goldman Sachs. I'm not either. But I am wiser than them. I'm not smarter than my bank, but I am wiser than my bank because I've never blown out. I've only gotten richer. Every week and every day, I grow richer. And every week and every day and every month, money just comes to me. Because I live, I eat, I think, I breathe in a certain way, and then I take certain action to make that happen. And I have a plan to the point where I took the thought in my mind, I created a blueprint, I wrote it down, I published it, and I gave it to others for free. Why? Because it's better to give than to receive. Wisdom. Zig Ziglar said, if you want to get what you want, you got to help enough other people get what they want. There's something magical that happens through the process of helping other people. By helping other people, you help yourself. Me just giving people money will not help them. If I teach them what to do with their money, it will help them. And I believe I will be paid back in spades some way, somehow, down the road. That I will reap. That's the reason for the book being free. That's the reason I don't follow up with you. That's the reason I don't want anything from you. Because one day in the future, if I say, hey, I made this course and it's $40, a lot of people are going to buy it because they have respect for me. They appreciated the free value they got from me. They would like to see the next level. And they would be happily to pay $40 instead of $4,000. Make sense? And if 100,000 people decided to pay me $40 to get amazing information, wouldn't everyone benefit? Wouldn't everyone benefit? But in order to get to those people, because remember, all the money you want is in the pockets, purses, wallets, checkbooks of other people, you have to give them a reason to do exchange with you. The science of getting rich teaches the idea that you should give people more in use value than you ask for them in monetary value. And I can think of no better exchange to meet that definition than to ask you for nothing. Right? See where I'm going with this? It's taking a book written in 1905, and actually applying it to my money, to my mindset, right, and to my actions. So you need to create a blueprint for yourself. If you're in school, finish school, because you need money. If you want to be an entrepreneur, that's great. I would get a job, because you need to learn skills, and you need discipline. An entrepreneur, a person will work two times as much as a person with a job. But there's assets, there's skill sets that you're going to learn at a job that I'm afraid if you skip the job, you'll never develop. Being an entrepreneur is not glamorous. Being an investor is not about Lambos and houses and all that other stuff that makes me sick. That's just me. I know it has a certain attraction to young people. But all I see, it's gross to me, you know? It's gross. It's so disrespectful to money to just throw it around and just dumb shit. I find it gross. I understand, and I'm not mad at anyone. They have their private jets and they do whatever they do. I get it. And I understand that there comes a point where you have so much money, you just have to spend it on something. I don't know. To each his own, right? And I'm not mad at anybody. And if you find that appealing, cool. I'm not mad at you either. It's just not me. After 18 years of being obsessed with getting rich, and I never made a lot of money. Remember I said I made $12.50 an hour, man. That's the most I ever made at a job. Everything else was hustle and grind. Now, I mentioned the three talents to you, and you probably thought I forgot. But God's given you a talent, the universe, whoever it is you follow, or you're just born with one if you're a scientist, if you're into science, right? You just happen to be born talented at something. And one day you're going to give an account for the talent that you have. Maybe drawing, maybe writing. For me, it was financial concepts and investing. And hopefully the last half of my life, it'll be teaching these ideas as simple as possible to encourage as many people as possible to take control. See, me voting doesn't do much. I can vote for a candidate, okay. But if I give away 100,000 books, you don't have to die broke, and 1,000 people change their life, and 10 of them become rich, I think I've done more for the world than voting. Just me. But you've been given a talent. Some of you have been given 5 talents, and some of you have been given 10. And one day you're going to have to give an account for those talents. In other words, you're an engineer, and you're making $200,000 a year, You've been doing it for 7 or 8 years and you're flat ass broke. You're going to have to give an account for the mismanagement of the money that God's given you, and you haven't done a very good job. Let that sink in. One day you're going to give an account for what you've been given, the skill set, your performance at work, and they're going to ask you, why did you do so little with this? Why are you broke? Why did you spend all your money, your whole life, on yourself? And they will say, well, you don't understand. This happened, and that happened, and this happened. And it's just going to be an excuse. I don't want to see that happen for you. I think you have everything in you right now to radically change your life. Dig into the book. Begin to think about money in a more, let's call it spiritual. Even if you're not, begin to think of money as this, it's this tool that you can use to provide passive income for other people. Other people. Or you could begin to use to provide passive income for you and your family. You decide. You choose this every day. Every day with every single transaction, you make a choice. Am I providing for others or for me? Others or for me? God bless you.